Well, anyway, this little boy was crippled boy. I remember what the sister had said to him. Later, I remember when I learned English, I remembered the words. Hey, take care of me. But anyway, about turning around, I looked at a little boy there, black as coal, and I never had seen him before. And I kept staring at him, and apparently he didn't like it. So he popped me in the nose and set me down hard. And of course, I started squalling right away. This little Mexican boy stood up and grabbed him and shook him and said, "What are you hitting for? He's just a little baby." And I remember that much. And something I want to say here now, many years later, we were ranching, and this boy was sent over to do some work on our farm. And I recognized him, and he'd been in the nest. He was an orphan, and he used to, after they turned him loose, he used to go back every winter and work for the sisters over there, and they'd feed him an impression, and, he was a good boy. This was many years later.
The black boy or the Mexican?
No, the Mexican boy was the, he had this bad leg. He still had it. That's how I recognized him. Many years later, I was around 17, or 18, and he was a little bit older. But then one day, Sister Frances caught me crying, and then when I went to started school, and I started learning really fast. I loved the N's, the N's, and the A's, and I wrote them down exactly like the teacher would put them on the wall, like as we found them in books for Dad, Whole rows, we had to write a whole row of M's or A's and then B's and C's. A whole fill out in one whole line and then on going down the lines. And first we practiced on line book tablets and then on none without lines to keep within the line. But anyway, I became good at it. And I had already learned in a week or so, I remember, I don't remember just what time, how long it took me, but I remembered I could write my name. And started reading certain little things, cat and dog and things like that. And I was speaking English. And one day I was just whimpering. I was so thirsty, my tongue, my mouth was dry, and I'm afraid to ask. This little sister who, with a wart on the side of her mouth here, a mean one, she wouldn't let us drink any water when we went to bed or before we went to bed. So we'd wet the bed. I remember the first week that I was there, I was still a baby more or less and scared. No, I didn't know where to get up and go. I didn't know what to do. I wet the bed. Well, there was another little guy there, a little chubby blonde, maybe 3 years old or four. And there was a passage from the upstairs door, or dormitory, to another upstairs over at the wash house. It was a walkway, with a railing on both sides. And this little mean picked up the mattress, grabbed me by the ear, pulled me outside, and then put this mattress on my head. "Now you stand there till it dries." I remember those words later. I hadn't quite learned English. And then I heard a little whimpering near me. And this little chubby little guy, blonde, he was standing there with his mattress on his head, and he was whimpering. And my neck began to get tight. I looked around a little bit, no sister. So when I turned around to look and see what I could see, I happened to squat down and the mattress was crossways on this railing. So I released the weight and then I poked him. Hey, mira. In Spanish, that's all I do at the moment. I remember that much. And I pointed out to him what to do. So he turned around and he squatted. In the meantime, I was facing towards the... Nobody showed up. Pretty soon they sent another young girl who lived in Otto, the place, and they'd come to work there. And... in fact, a little German girl, I guess, the name I remember now, I don't quite remember what her name was, but I know it was German. She took a terrific liking for me and this little chubby guy. She came, picked up the mattresses and laid them on crossways on them, told her to come in the bedroom. And she was going to take us down to for our breakfast. And breakfast was a bowl of cornmeal with molasses. Mm. That was our breakfast. I don't remember what we ate at noon, if we ate at noon. I don't think we ate at noon. We didn't eat at noon. But around 10 o'clock, they'd come around with a great big basket of bread. But going back, this time it was Sister Frances, and I was whimpering and thirst. She asked me, "Joseph, what's the matter? Why are you crying?" "I'm thirsty." I just filled the cup and took about two swallows, and there was a mean yell of it. "Hey, you, drop that water. You're going to wet the bed." So I dropped the tin can, the tin cup, and I went, but I did get two drinks of water. Sometime that day or the next day, playing way out in the yard with the boys where they were playing, somebody broke a pipe behind the toilets. And they were all drinking water from it. Well, it's clean water, you know. It was the water that supplied the tanks in the toilet. And so I rushed up there, and I got my share. There was about 20 or more boys rushing over to get water. So my sisters found it, and then they brought a man over to repair it. They shut the water off, but we all got a drink of water. In that yard, they'd come in about 10 o'clock, 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I guess, with a basket of bread. And one time they came around with a basket of snails, cinnamon rolls. Snails, they call them then. And there was one huge one. They'd line us up. Older boys would line. We'd line up. And then some of the sisters were around there. And I was watching, marching along. As they went by, they'd hand one to this one. There was two boys handing them out. And one. When I was sitting back, I saw this big one. It's a great big extra large one. And I began to pray. I hope that's mine. I hope. Pray. That is a boy that handed out and handed it to me. I rushed away to hide. There was another kid watched me, and he tried to follow me, but I hid from him. He'd come and take it away from me. Older. Well, things happened to me there. You see that mark? Mm-hmm. Well, I had already learning English, and one bigger boy says he wet it. He wet a cord, top string. It's cord, cotton cord. And it's woven, it's twisted hard. He wet it. He said, "Hold that. Hold it tight now. Hold tight." When I held on tight, he jerked. Burned that to the bone. And I had another one here someplace. Two fingers. By that time, I'm learning not to cry. So I just let out a yike. And I think I cussed him a little. It wasn't Spanish. But anyway, those were some of the things that happened to me there. That's where my brother and my stepmother came to see me. Now, that's the first time I saw my stepmother. She was a little bitty thing about 5 feet, not quite 5 feet tall. And I remember she had two braids, and they were woven around her head. And they brought me some marbles and some candy. And one of the sisters was showing my brother and my stepmother. That's the first I'd learned, well, that she was my stepmother. Not long before they came, my father and my brother came after me in a wagon, two horses in the wagon. They took me out. Now, by this time, these sisters, that little one especially, had broken my spirit so complete that I was just nothing, just a shell. Couldn't think for myself or anything. And I'd been a boy, like I was telling you, never afraid of anything excepting, not really afraid of them, but I was always on the lookout for them, that turkey and that gander. Because I'd heard about rattlesnakes, and I never did see any, but I was never afraid of them. I used to crawl through the bush on my hands and knees where the chickens used to crawl through, and the turkeys. I used to go in there to chase chickens out, and my brother and my sister had made a bow and arrow, and they were shooting chickens. Chase them out, some that had arrows stuck in them. And I saw my mother come home and take those bows and break them. They were green and shoved them in the fire.
How long were you in the
14 months. Right?
Uh-huh.
14 months. I was there 14 months. And one of the first things my father done after we had supper. Now, just imagine how far they had gone to break my spirit completely. I understand now why they had to do it, to control all these boys. I don't know how many they had, probably 100 or more. Their sisters, you know. In fact, I saw a fight between one 14, 15-year-old boy and a little Mexican sister. She beat him, got him down, was banging his head on the ground. And that's the first time I saw that they had their hair cut. He had jerked up, whatever you have to call it. But anyway, this time that they came after me, then they gave me these marbles. They didn't last a day. Kids knocked them out. I was going along with my bag of marbles, and kid hit it, and they fell in through the cracks. And the kids scramble, scramble. That was the game. Scramble, scramble. I remember they had we are orphans. We play ball. We play anybody's, big or small. And they had a team. Apparently, used to go out and play. I don't know. I never went with them. Because every Sunday we had to go to church. And the church was not very far away. We've got a new one there now. Well, many, many years, in fact, many years later, from Stanton, when I was 8, 9, we used to go to church there. My dad used to send us about 5 miles to Anaheim to the church. And Father Duval, I remember him when I was in the orphans, and then later when I went to, we used to go to church.
Do you recall the name of the orphanage?
Huh?
Do you remember the name of the orphanage?
Just Anaheim Catholic Orphanage is all. I don't remember the name of it, if it had a name. I think it was Anaheim Catholic Orphanage, something like that. It's not there anymore. They done away with it.
And there were just mostly boys in there? There were no
kids? Just boys.
Just boys.
They did hire some young girls to come over and take care of the babies and things like that. This one little German girl who took a liking to me and this little fire, they fired her because she stole some candy from one of the sisters to give us. She'd take a couple of candies, you know, and give one to me and one to the little boy, and put it in her lap and sing to us and hug us. And that's the only affection I ever got. And Sister Frances, who didn't show her, but she was kind, you know, the way she talked to me and all that. Sister Frances. And this other sister, I can't think of her name. She had little eyes close together, I remember that, sharp nose, and this big old wart on this side. She was not very tall. Well, when I first got home that evening, one of the first things my brother says, come on, let's go get the cows. We went to where Fullerton was a very small town then. And there was orchards around and ditches running water, and there was a lot of grass around where the neighbors would allow my brother to go stake the cows out. They were good people in California in those days. Very good people. Neighbors were neighbors. It was the only place where we lived. Neighbors a mile away, 2 miles away, were still our neighbors. And they all took care of each other. Around Stanton, they were all poor little farmers. 10 acres, 5 acres, 20 acres, like that. No big stuff. First thing, I sat at the table. Everybody was eating. And I just sat there. Nobody had told me to eat, so I didn't eat. Father, I looked at him and I followed him. Aren't you hungry? Yes, sir. Well, why don't you eat? Well, I started eating. I was hungry. And I was quite an eater anyway. Well, I started eating. But they had to tell me to eat, otherwise I wouldn't eat. Finally, I got used to, you know. Just when everybody else started eating, I started eating. They never said grace. And once in a while later, my father would, I got in the habit of saying the Our Father just before I went to sleep. Oh, I used to have nightmares. Oh, some terrible nightmares from the things that these sisters used to tell us. I was caught between God and the devil. If God didn't punish me, the devil would get me. I had no friends. Nobody. And they broke my spirit, really broke my spirit. It took me years and years and years to get over certain phobias. Even after I was married, once in a while, I'd wake up, nightmares would wake me up. the nightmare that used to hit me when I was a child. I often wonder, I have a strong will, what would have happened if they hadn't done this to me? I don't know. Because schooling, I had very little. That was the beginning, at the orphan's home. That's where I learned to read and write. By the time my dad took me home, one of the first things he asked me after we ate supper, to see, what have you learned? To see you, did you write your name? Yes, sir. I wrote my name, and I heard the commencement. Perfect writing. A lot better than I write now. I'll start like I used to write, very smooth letters, you know. Now my hand's a little shaky. But toward the end, say writing a letter, or I was writing a story of my father. I don't know what I did with it. I never finished it. But at the beginning, it'd be nice and smooth. Toward the last, it'd be scrawled. Well, not quite scrawled. You could still read them, you know. I never scrawl like baby scrawls. Child. Never did. Well, they were commenting on how perfect my writing was. Well, from then on, I started school in Fullerton. Again, I guess that was in the fall. In the fall, semester started.
Did you start in the first grade or second grade?
It was the first grade. They started me in the first grade. I come out of the orphan home, 7 years old, they started me in the first grade. And I was pretty well advanced. But one thing you know about this, these religious schools, or Catholic schools, they really teach you. Now, she quit. She was going to a Catholic school, and she quit to her regular school over here. It cost them too much, $600 a year. And so I guess I moved back. And she was happier down here anyway. More friends. And they're pretty strict in the school. But they do now. Pat is teaching a Catholic school over here, church. And those kids are smart. They really teach them. I don't know, with the system, there's not too much, no foolishness there. Pat has a way. Boys are get a little bit tougher. Immediately she gets on the telephone, tells her father, come after your boy. And the fathers come down, they don't like that, you know. What do we do to the boys? Take them home for what? I don't know. Spank them? But anyway. I was standing in line going into school, had been going about a week or this, and in the next line there's another little Negro. And I guess I hadn't seen very many of them, but there weren't very many in California then. He was in the third grade, a little taller, bigger. And I was standing right opposite him. He didn't like me, I guess. All of a sudden, whammo, he stuck a safety pin, a big one, in my arm. And me, who had never got over, helped my dad, he used to teach me once in a while to cuss, to swear, just for the fun. When I was a little bitty guy, and I never forgot it, when I was just beginning to talk, he'd teach me just to hear me, you know. Later, when I was around, before they brought me to the orphan home, I called him something, and I slapped his face, and he slapped me back. That's the only time, the first time. He whipped me 7 times. But I remember every one of them, always for a reason, a good reason, too, lying. Oh, he just liked that lie. Tried to fool the old man, and it didn't work. 3 licks is all he'd give me. Lord, I could feel them. Yeah, but a sermon in between each one. That I didn't like, a long sermon. Just when the pain when the first one was going off, it'd come the second one, and then the same with the third one. But I learned... I love my old dad. Everything that I learned later and to take care of myself, him and this Pima Indian, taking care of myself out in the mountains, out in the desert, or wherever I was.
The little black boy that
I'll go back to the little black boy. I have a habit of skipping. He jabbed this pin in me, and I called him an SB. He whispered it more like, but my teacher heard me. Near to climbing up the steps. Joseph, come out of that line. Well, I couldn't tell her. Then I was grabbing my arm. Later I told her. Well, why didn't you tell me he'd used a pin? You wouldn't let me. You just told me to get out of line and go inside. She stood me in the corner for a little while. And she scolded me. She said, I ought to wash your mouth with soap. I apologized to him. I said, I'm sorry I used that word, but he stuck me with a pin. Why didn't you tell me? She made me roll my sleeve up and saw the pin mark, a little lump portion, rammed it to the bone. And it hurt, really hurting. And I don't know, she put something on there, something cool, I don't know what it was, alcohol, I guess, I don't know what it was. They had something put away. But she didn't do this till after she went to get me from the coroner. But I was pretty well advanced by then in my reading and fine. But they pulled me out of school that semester and we went to pick chili peppers. Later, we moved. There were some people living, had a dairy next door. The Hildebrandt's neighbors. I had reason to remember them later. One of them, George. He was my age. We moved from there to another place and we started going to Orange Thorpe School. And while going to Orange Thorpe School, we moved from one place where we were picking grapes. We moved to another one, to, where were we? Well, somewhere, I don't remember just where we were. I was going to Orange Thorpe School, and there was George. He was always pushing me around, and he was a little chubby guy, knocking me down. Here's some more where they held me down. I wanted to climb trees like all the boys do. And my stepmother sent word with my brother, tell the teachers not to let me climb trees. So, the boys ever started calling me chicken. Now, they didn't use the word coward. Why don't you climb trees? They don't let me. I remember in Fullerton when I was going to school, one Christmas, the first Christmas I spent there, a neighbor boy asked me, what did you get for Christmas, Joe? And I remember answering, nothing. Didn't say nothing, nothing. That's the way it sounded to me. Another thing I remember there in Fullerton was I changed eye teeth twice, one on top of the other. That all the time. There was another little guy who was always picking on me too, and my brother bawled me out and he says, fight him, hit him, otherwise I want to hit you. But I was afraid of my brother. So I hit the little guy and knocked the tooth loose. It was coming out anyway. He picked it up, put it on a rail. He was crossing the railroad track, took a rock and mashed it. This little guy. Well, that's the first time I'd ever hit anybody. And, well, we'll skip up to 1906. The people around us there were mostly, I don't remember any Catholics around there. And they were all Protestants, and that was something I was taught in this orphan's home. All Protestants were people of the devil. That they have nothing to do with them in any way. And yet, when my father got real sick there, he couldn't work, couldn't do anything. People from all around would come over there. I remember how kind they were. They'd bring us, maybe a box of tomatoes or a box of this or that. And of course, we had a garden that I was working, myself and my brother. And my father was out sitting in the sun. Two doctors said he wasn't going to live. Just how old he was, I don't know. He was 1906. So he died in 1928. At 72, I'd have to go back to figure how old he was. He wasn't such an old man. And one neighbor came over and says, Mr. Moreno, I want your permission to hire your boy, Frankie. If it's all right with you. And I heard my father say, it's all right with my father. He said, it's all right. And when my brother came home, on payday, it was the end of the week, he handed over his pay to my father. That he was paid man's wages. He's only around 15.
What were a man's wages in those days?
Around $2, $2.50.
A day?
Uh-huh. But then a dollar would buy enough groceries for a whole family of five or six for one whole week, actually. One big round steak for 20 cents. And the butcher used to come and deliver. Once a week, he'd come around. He'd come in 1 week and take orders, and the next week he'd deliver the orders he got today. Well, I remember they pulled me out of school, and I was working on a hay bale. They'd put, my father would send me to school around, October or November. Then he pulled me out in April or May to go to work. And that was with a lot of families of Latin Americans. There wasn't much for them that they could do. My father was being sick, and then another thing, a wild horse that he had bought for next to nothing. Trapped him with a chain coming around a big eucalyptus tree, and it snapped back, and it snapped itself. It had a broken snap, and it hooked itself, and tore the muscles, all the muscles loose. After he recovered, a year or so later, he could barely reach his mouth with his cigarette. And anyway, that was another time he laid up. That was after he'd got been sick, and all the neighbors were helping. And a woman here in Whittier, the daughter of a granddaughter, no, daughter of a friend, an old friend of his that he had met when he was both young boys, youngsters. Pajarito, they call him, little bird. He was the grandfather of Bert Kalima, a fighter. He took his grandfather's name. But anyway, this woman, Bert's mother, told my dad, "Do you have any carrots?" Turnips. Well, we had rows and rows of turnips to feed, for us to eat and to feed the hogs. And some carrots. My father didn't like tomatoes, so he didn't plant tomatoes, but he planted everything else that would grow. And never sold anything. He either traded or gave away. He would not sell food. Anyway, this woman told him, boil the turnips, greens and all, eat the greens, eat the turnips, and put the water out to cool, and then drink the water. It's like drinking water. Don't drink any other water. Buy yourself the best olive oil you can get and the best brandy. Every morning, one tumbler of olive oil and one tumbler of brandy. That's your thing. No doctors. He had a chance to rent 10 acres of land. He planted it. Cabbage. He made $800 off that 10 acres. His old doctor heard that he was alive, so he came to see him. That's one of the first automobiles I've seen. One of the first. The first one scared me. I'd never seen a wagon running without horses. Two men sitting up on a chair, and I got scared. That was in Fullerton. They sent me over to the store with a milk to get some groceries. And I saw this thing coming over the railroad tracks, and no horses. Rushing down about 10 miles an hour, I guess. So I ran to a telephone pole. I was going to climb the telephone pole. That was the first one I ever noticed or seen. And then this one with the doctor. Great, big, long thing. And I was standing there, was helping my father hold the cabbage. We had planted it, and I was helping home. And mind you, all this time was school time, but I wasn't going to school. So the doctor asked him what medicine, what he'd use to get well. He says, some weeds. My father spoke broken English. I make tea and weeds, certain kind of food I eat. Well, tell me what. Oh, no. Tell you? So you make big money, huh? No. You use your medicines, I use mine. That's the way he spoke. Anyway, there's what I noticed that the neighbors, how kind they were to my father, and because I was understanding a lot of things then. Alone all the time, I made my own games, my own toys, I made my own tops, I made my own little wagons, not very big, but and I was always either herding cows or doing some kind of work. While my brother was working with the neighbors, I was taking care of the cows, herding cows all open fields. This was in Stanton, not very far from here, just the other side of Los Alamitos. Now, it used to be called Benedict then. There's a railroad steam train run this way. And while we were still living in that place, later after we were newly married, I took my wife over there, and the place is still there. The old house is still there. The only thing they cut down were the palm trees where I used to watch the orioles build their nest, great big long nest out of palm fiber. They were not the kind that I've seen here lately in Banning. Those are smaller. These were the eastern orioles, great big thing. They had a beautiful whistle. I used to sit on